Good evening. We'll be starting in 2 minutes. Good evening, Rabbi Levin. You are now live with SharonDraymond.com.
Thank you very much, Jake. And as always, we begin by thanking Jake Weinman for his incredible, incredible efforts of bringing the soul together, his coordination, his skill, the master at coordinating all of the Shiurim 24/7 with all of the Magidim, and his really, really wonderful efforts. Thank you so much. The Shir tonight is sponsored by Zecher Ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. We want to thank the sponsor for his kind generosity. This week is Parashas Bahalaischa. Parashas Bahalaischa, there are many topics, but let's discuss tonight the topic of the Levim. We learned in Parashas Bahalaischa that Hashem selected the Levim, Shevet Levi, to serve in the Mishkan. And their role was to transport the Aroin, the Kalim, all of the Kalim and the structure itself in the desert. And Rashi tells us there were other jobs, for example, to sing Shira, whether it was the Teh with their vocal cords, and accompanied by musical instruments. And likewise, we know that they stood guard, they did Shemira in the Beis HaMikdash at all of the gates of the Mikdash. Now, in this week's parasha, we learn how they were selected. It's a bit tragic as to what happened. Originally, the firstborns were meant to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The firstborn, every Bechor and every family was meant to be a Kohen to serve in a very significant capacity in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. But unfortunately, because of the Chet HaEgel, Hashem decided that the firstborns would no longer serve. And they needed to be replaced. And Hashem selected the Levim to be the replacement for the firstborns, for the Bechoros. And in the parasha, it's pretty much spelled out in detail in Parasha Bahalaischa, where Hashem says, I originally selected the firstborns, but they were replaced. They were replaced by the Levim, and there was a process that was done of redemption. There were some, the numbers did not match up exactly. There had to be some redemption. Sukkim described this in detail in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, and other parashas, but it's spelled out very clearly here, many of the details in the second aliyah. At the end of the aliyah is a very important pasuk. Pasuk says, after everything was done, the achrechen bohu ha-levim la'avoy to service avodos adol moed l'fnei aron l'fnei banav kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe al ha-levim Cain Asulahem. Everything was done, this transfer of service from the firstborns to the Levim was done according to this that Hashem commanded. Rashi comments, Lahagid Shevach. This pasuk is here coming to teach you, to tell you, to relate the praise, Ha'oisin Vehanase Bohem. Those that did, and what was done to them, she Echad mehem lo ikef. No one protested. Now, we can be very didactic in Rashi, exactly what Rashi means to say. It's subject to interpretation, possibly. But let's talk in a more of a expanded understanding of this idea. Rashi says the shevach of the osin and the hanase bohem, those who participated in this process. They really were two partners in this process. They were the firstborns who, to a degree, relinquished their rights because they acknowledged they were not worthy, and the Levim who replaced them. The Levim had to commit to living a different type of life, to serve in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and there was a process of what needed to be done. They had to shave their hair, and they had to be waved. But the commitment is quite a commitment for all generations to serve in the Mikdash as a replacement for the firstborns. But the firstborns also participated in this transfer of power, acknowledging that this is what Hashem wants. And the Pasuk here says everything was done correctly. There were no issues. No one protested and said, no, it's not fair. It was meant for us. How could you take it away from us? There was an acceptance. If this is what Hashem has decided, we have to be gracious in giving over our rights to those that are more worthy. That's a very noble and powerful statement. It's a very noble and powerful idea where a person can accept upon himself a harsh decree of losing something that is indeed very precious, and humbling oneself to Hashem and accepting that if this is your will, we accept. I believe the following idea I heard in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that on Erev Pesach, we have a custom where the firstborns fast. Tainus b'chayrim. Why? The simple reason is because it's the morning before the eve of Makas b'chayrim, when Hashem took the lives of all of the firstborn Egyptians, and the firstborns of the Jewish people were in grave danger, and Hashem protected them. So, as an acknowledgement and as a token of appreciation, the firstborns fast Erev Pesach. Yaakov Kamenetsky, if I'm not mistaken, Yaakov Kamenetsky says another idea as to why they fast. Erev Pesach, every single person in Klal Yisrael participated in the bringing of a Korban Pesach. Everyone came to the Beis HaMikdash. Who was in charge? The Kohanim. It was their big, big day. They were in charge. Every Kohen available was working hard to slaughter the Korbanos, to do the Kabbalah Sadam, to do the Zerika, to take care of all of the things that needed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash on this day when the whole Klal Yisrael came to this Makom to bring the Korban Pesach. When the firstborns came to the Mikdash to bring their Korban Pesach, they witnessed the glory of the Kohanim. They saw the Kohanim at their best. On this day, where Klal Yisrael is bringing collectively a Korban Pesach. And it caused them pain. It was a painful day for the firstborns. They saw with their own eyes what they lost out on. They saw that through participating in the worshiping of the Egel HaZov, look at what has now been denied from them. They could have been the ones who were serving in the Mikdash on this glorious day and being instrumental in bringing the Jewish people close to Hashem through their renewal of covenant between them and Hashem through the offering of the Korban Pesach. And here they're just spectators. They're observers. They're not participants. It's the Kohanim who have replaced them. It's the Levim who are as well doing the Shira. It was painful for the firstborns. And thus they reflected. This is why Erev Pesach, the Kohanim fast. They fast not only because in the evening there is a moment of danger. We reflect, we experience the story of the Exodus, but it's the day itself, Erev Pesach, to see the Kohanim in their glory and to recognize what they've lost because of their sins. It's painful. And that demands that they do teshuvah. The pain is directed in a holy way of doing teshuvah and fasting on Erev Pesach. I'd like to go a little bit further on this idea. Generally, we do not have any obligation to give Levim honor. The only obligation we have of giving honor is for the Kohanim, the Kidashta. There is absolutely no halacha that one has to give honor to a Levi. We do not say when we bench Bereshus HaLevim, we say Bereshus HaKohanim. If a Yisrael benches in the place of a Kohen. But there's no halacha anywhere that a person should say Bereshus HaKohanim VeHaLevim. There's no such thing. And even though in Shul we give the Levi the second Aliyah, that's only because once we give the Kohen, so then we give honor to the Levi who is the assistant of the Kohen. But what is the halacha in the situation where in the Beis HaKnesses there is no Kohen? There is no obligation to give the Levi the first Aliyah. If there's no Kohen, anyone can get the first Aliyah. If the Gavai wants, he can also give a Levi, but there's no obligation. The Levi only gets honor when the Levi is serving as an assistant to the Kohen, but the Levi does not get any honor. There's one problem, though. There's one exception, and that is at a Bris Milah. At a Bris Milah, before the benching begins, there's a lengthy introduction. It's called a Rishus. It begins with the words Noide l'shimcha b'soch emunai b'ruchim atem l'hashem. Everyone has been at the Bris Milah. In the Siddur, it's called the Zimun l'su'udah sabris. And in this intro to the benching, there's one interesting line that begins with that reads as follows: B'rishus ha'kohanim ha'leviim ekra Lelokei who Ivriim, with the permission of the Kohanim, who are Levim, who I call out to the God of the Jews. Our Girsa, the text, most of our Sidurim reads, Bereshus HaKohanim HaLevim. But the Magen Avraham cites another Girsa, Bereshus HaKohanim VeHaLevim. We ask permission from the Kohanim, and we also ask permission from the Levim. That's very unusual, because generally we never ask permission from the Levim, because the Levim, there is no obligation to give the Levim honor. Why, at a Bris Milah, according to those who have this text in their Siddur, HaKohanim VeHaLevim, should a Bris Milah be any different than any other event, than Sheva Brachos, or any time we bench with three people on Shabbos or during the week? Why should it be different? So there are reasons given. There is a discussion. Some want to suggest that when it comes to a Bris Milah, we know that Shevet Levi in the desert, they observed the mitzvah of Bris Milah, whereas the majority of the Jewish people did not, because there was a danger. and the fact that they were in the desert and the winds were not blowing. So we want to acknowledge that they are special because they were meticulous in the midst of Bris Milah when we were in the desert. But let's continue in the theme of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. When the firstborns were in danger on the night of Pesach, how did they protect themselves? By smearing on the doorpost the Dam Pesach and the Dam Milah. When a Bechor sees, when we see the Dam Milah, not only a Bechor, but when we see in front of us the mitzvah of Bris Milah, it takes us back to the time of the Bechor. It takes us back to the moment of the Bechor. The ones that really should be doing the Avodah are really the Kohanim, are really the firstborns. Unfortunately, it was because of the Chet of Egel, it was taken away from them. But they really, the firstborns, are the ones who really should have received the service, the right to serve the Beis HaMikdash. That service was transferred to the Levian. It's specifically at a Bris Milah when we are forced to reflect that the service was meant for the firstborn, but now the service was transferred to the Levi. Does it awaken us specifically at this moment to acknowledge that the Levian indeed are special? They have been given a mission to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, just as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that when it comes to the Pesach, it forces us to confront the reality. Likewise, in the Bris Milah, you know, as in fact, the blood that was applied to the doorpost was the Dam Pesach and the Dam Milah. When the firstborns walked into the Beis HaMikdash of Pesach, they saw the Kohanim. They fasted. In a similar fashion, when we come face to face with the performance of Bris Milah, we recall the first time the Jewish people were all fully circumcised. It was the night of Pesach. Everyone was fully circumcised so that we could bring the Korban Pesach, and the blood of the Bris Milah was applied to the doorpost. And that's what served as protection to the firstborns who were at that moment redeemed, as it says in this week's parasha, the moment when they were redeemed, that was the moment when they were given the task to serve as Hashem's Kohanim. We have to reflect upon that at the time of Bris Milah, because Bris Milah was the protection which brought the firstborns into the service. But where did that go? Where did that service go? That service was transferred to the Levian. So it's specifically at a Bris Milah that we reflect upon the fact that the Levian now have been entrusted with the service of the firstborn right. In conclusion, there is a powerful mussar, powerful lesson to take, and that is the graciousness of the firstborns. Plus, it concludes, as we just said, the achrechin bo halavim la'avoides avoidosam yol noe l'fnei Aaron l'fnei Avonov. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe al halavim kein osu lohem. Everything was done according to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Including that statement is the firstborns were gracious in properly giving over their right to the Levian. That's an act of dignity. Rashi alludes to this. Lahagid shavach ha'oisin v'hanaseh bohem. trying to homiletically interpret the words of Rashi to mean the praise of the Oisin, we're referring to the Levim, the Hanase Bohen, and what was done to them, referring to the firstborns, their given right was removed, was transferred. She'echod mehem lo ikev. No one protested. If one tried to interpret this homiletically, is that the firstborns did not protest. If you look in the Sifrei Chachamim, he says that this refers to the Levim. That is correct. It's everything, all the entire process. But on a homiletic level, we have to appreciate that the firstborns also were gracious in giving over their right to the ones that Hashem selected. And that's a tremendous merit to every firstborn. And they, every year, Erev Pesach, continue that nobility by fasting and using it as an opportunity to come closer to Hashem. And likewise, at a bris milah, a time of great joy, we all read these words. Even a firstborn participates in the reading of these words. It's an act of nobility to accept the will of Hashem. In this merit, may it be that, as according to some of the commentators, that the firstborns in the future will once again be rewarded to take back their right to serve. This is a very big dilemma, as if that is correct. But it appears that some commentators hold that indeed they will one day take back, together with the Kohanim, the opportunity to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps. And certainly a portion of that comes from the nobility of being able to be gracious in seeing, accepting what Hashem wants to give over to someone else. What is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week. All the best to all of you. Good night.